This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pat.
Maybe you can tell our listeners who you are and what your business is, and then we'll get into some questions after that.
Yeah, so my name is Jamil Bouya. I was raised in Ottawa, born in Montreal. I started a burger joint called Burgers and Fries Forever, BFF. Original location was in Centertown. I shouldn't say was, still is, beside what used to be Barrymore's, just on Bank and Gilmore there. And we've been going strong out of that location for 11 years. We had expanded to four locations. COVID took out a couple, like it did for many businesses. And we also have a location in Toronto, downtown there. And we're franchising as well starting this year.
Well, first off, congratulations, 11 years in business. That's a huge milestone and not many make it. And second off, I'm sure our listeners at a certain age have a lot of great memories of Barrymore. So that's a nice connection. What was your background before going into business for yourself? What were you doing?
Yeah, so I kind of went straight from school right into business. So took a business degree at Ottawa U. To be honest, most of the lessons I learned weren't in school, kind of more after. I was a co-op student working for the federal government, worked at Immigration Canada, Treasury Board, Public Works, in various roles, various departments. And then, what led me to starting a restaurant was I did an exchange in Amsterdam, failed my first ever course, couldn't get bridged in thanks to Stephen Harper, and had a little bit of a early life crisis, not even close to mid, and decided to go all in on starting a restaurant. Don't ask me why, but that's how it went down.
And what was the what triggered you to go in the burgers and fries side? I mean, there's lots of options out there, so why burgers and fries?
So this was around 2011. At the time, the better burger scene was becoming a big deal globally, especially in the US, Toronto. As I was traveling, like I said, I was in exchange in Amsterdam, found a lot of like better burger, gourmet burgers. In Amsterdam, they also have, probably heard of Belgian Fritz. So, you know, I just found that concept very fascinating. While traveling in Thailand as well, there was a lot of cool, like crazy funky burger places with like very Thai ingredients. And I just found it very interesting how like all these various cultures like are using like burger as a canvas for their food. And so at the time, Ottawa's always been littered with a lot of shawarma places. So I thought it would be cool and interesting to be like the first halal burger joint in Ottawa. And that's kind of the background behind it.
Wow. And you mentioned, you know, franchising. Why that? Why are you exploring that avenue?
To be honest, it's probably something I should have done a lot earlier. I just received tons of requests over the years. And truthfully, for the longest time, I didn't want to franchise because it was just control issues, control freak, call it whatever you want. Just didn't trust other people with my brand. Also didn't want to deal with me all over again. The first time being a business owner, I was like, I'm not dealing with me again from the get-go. But truthfully, I think it was just that lack of confidence, and I didn't really understand why people wanted in on the brand themselves. And I think the biggest thing was just like trusting someone else running the brand was very scary.
Yeah. And so how long have you been offering franchises now?
We literally just started earlier this year. We're in discussion with a few groups for some area deals and a few other single unit franchisees. It's definitely been probably a very challenging year due to the economy. Yeah. A few deals have fallen through because of financing issues and things like that. I'm sure that's, you know, it's a very common sentiment out there. But we just started earlier this year, a few months ago.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. We may have to do a part two, check in on you in a number of months and see how things are going. So, you know, one of the things, as you know, the purpose of this podcast is to share lessons learned with anyone that is listening, that is either thinking of starting a business or has a business, maybe struggling. So is there, you know, two or three business lessons that you've learned that you'd be willing to pass along to our listeners?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is, you know, failure is almost always going to happen. It just depends how you define it. So I think a lot of people have various definitions of failure. And, you know, it's talked about a lot, but like it's talked about in a really broad sense. You know, I've gone through kind of the ringer with many different levels of failure, high, low, closed down restaurants, gotten into some legal trouble in the world of business. They almost say, if you don't get sued, you haven't really been in business. I'm sure you know this. I think the biggest thing is like, prepare to fail. Cause when you do, I say, you don't really know how you're going to act in business or even how your partners are going to act until everyone's back is against the wall. Things are always like merry in the beginning. They're always great. But like, excuse my French, but when shit hits the wall, which it does,
yeah,
that's when you'll really know what everyone's made out of and, you know, how people act.
Yeah, I agreed. Anything else you'd want to share? Another lesson?
Invest in your confidence. So for me, you know, I lacked a lot of confidence early on. Was overly self-deprecating. And I think a lot of that was insecurity of like personal issues that I still hadn't dealt with. And I think I'm realizing them more and more, and just we are who we are for a reason. So if you don't figure out why you are the way you are, it's going to reflect in everything else. Like, you know, there's a lot of like glorification of entrepreneurs, but like, it's a really shitty, lonely profession. And some may say job, and like, I think you have to be like authentic to yourself. I think there's a lot of people who get in there for the wrong reasons. They don't even know why they're getting in it. But once they're in it, and it's almost like you can't go back. And I think I've learned like what my non-negotiables are just through building my own self-confidence, being able to say no to certain things and say yes to the things that actually matter to me versus before I was just a bit of a yes man.
Yeah. But it's really hard to learn that lesson, isn't it, though? As an entrepreneur, I know for me it was for sure, because especially when you're first starting out, you want to say yes to every opportunity, but I don't think that's healthy for your business.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, it's balancing the newfound nihilism I have with like the former optimism I used to have, and creating a balance where it's like, what do I want for my life and not for my business? Before, my life was my business, and I think it was really unhealthy and actually made me make very shitty decisions, because at the end of the day, I have to live with those decisions. So if it doesn't align with who I am, over time, you kind of like fracture your personality into all these different pieces. And, you know, it's really hard to reconcile that, because not to say you're living a lie every day, but you're kind of living someone else's truth. You know what I mean? And not your own.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those things is like, it's like everything in life. It's a journey. You got to figure it out. You're going to make mistakes, but what makes you great is not necessarily being the smartest or the brightest. It's, I think, surviving, just getting through it.
Yeah. Years ago, I read a quote that the basis of it was, you know, they talk about as an entrepreneur work-life balance, but really it's work-life integration. Because when you own a business, you've got to kind of weave the two together. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, I forget who wrote this, and I do agree with the statement, but I forget who wrote this, and it kind of mirrors what you're saying, is that reason entrepreneurs, CEOs, executives have the hardest job. And I think this was, it was someone that was related to the Andreessen Horowitz, so like one of the first investors in like Netscape and Apple. I could be wrong on how he started, but kind of a Silicon Valley, massive VC, and it was, entrepreneurs have one of the hardest jobs out there because they're constantly having to make decisions with only 20% of the information available, and they'll never have the full picture, yet they have to commit to a strategy and resources that can take months for them to figure out if they were right or wrong or not.
That's really interesting. I haven't heard that before, but you are, it's 100% accurate for sure. I wonder if there's anything that, any advice you would give to entrepreneurs to help them at least, because I bet you a lot of them aren't even getting that 20%. They may be getting 5 or 10%. Is there anything you've learned in your last 11 years of owning a business that could, that would help someone try to at least get to the 20%, if not beyond that?
You know, like I said, for me, even some of my own information or some of my own advice I give is very polarizing, because like, I think I've learned that like, even someone listening to a guy like me, or me listening to someone else, vice versa, you know, even yourself, you're so experienced, but like, you've changed so many times throughout the years as like new experiences, things has happened, phases of life that like, you know, there's so many people trying to sell courses or formulas and things like that, but it's like, there's only one Pat Whalen, there's only one Jamil Bui out there, and there'll probably never be another one. So like, what, you know, what makes me think that like someone else's playbook is going to work exactly for me? So I think the advice is just like, try to get as much help as you can, be vulnerable and be real. I think a lot of people, because of social media, feel like they got to put up like an image and like always be successful. But I found like my biggest successes were when I was just honest and real with people. And like, that's when they genuinely went out of their way to help.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I know some of the most impactful conversations I've had around my business are when I'm sitting across the table from another entrepreneur and we're just sharing stories back and forth. And it's almost, well, therapy be a bit strong of a word, but it is therapeutic for sure to talk to another entrepreneur and realize, okay, I'm not the only one that's struggling with this, or they're struggling with that. Hey, I figured that one out. I can help you with that. So I think it's really important to surround yourself, not wholly for sure, but make some time to be with someone else. Otherwise, you think, boy, why am I not getting this? Or I'm not cut out for this. When in fact, maybe you're just having the same struggles that the person across from you has also had, along with hundreds, or if not thousands, of other business owners.
Yeah, I always say as a joke that like entrepreneurs are a bit kinky because like we love pain. Because like I don't want to say get joy, but I used to feel like human when I'd hear of someone else's failure. Because it was almost like, oh shit, it's not just me. So like, while most people were losing it during the pandemic, I was a bit like calm, because I was like, well, it's not just me closing down my restaurants or losing money hands over fist. It's everybody. And I think it's good to like keep yourself grounded. And like you said, I definitely call it professional therapy, talking to others. And just like, we're all kind of like trauma victims. We're sharing war stories, you know, we're like, oh, this one time I got served or sued, or, you know, I was talking to a bankruptcy lawyer. It's like, and I think it just makes you realize like the person you're talking to is human. That's it.
I think the other thing it does too, it gives you a different perspective on your own business. I don't know if you agree or not, but I maintain that most entrepreneurs, if not all, we're all, I know I certainly am guilty of this. I'm too close to my own business.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need somebody else coming in and say, well, hang on, have you thought of this? And it seems like such an obvious thing in the moment, but you realize, no, I haven't thought of that, because I thought I had it all figured out when in fact you didn't. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah. I've had my ego kicked down, bruised, a lot of emotional warfare. And I agree with you. Like, I've been doing this for 11 years. When I look back at it, the first 5 years, I thought it was untouchable. I thought everything I did was amazing. We were growing. We were growing profitably, which in the restaurant industry is really hard.
Yeah,
I had 3 restaurants all cash flowing positively. I was barely working at the time. Thought, it's always going to be like this. So that when I first started hitting real struggles, I didn't know how to cope or react. And I just thought like, you know, the good times would come back and keep rolling until they didn't. And it kind of forced me into action. But Now I'm much less emotional, much less. I mean, 5 years from now, when I watch this podcast, I'll be like, oh, that guy still had an ego. But I feel like I have much, much less of one now than I did when I first started, for sure.
Nice. Within your industry, the restaurant business, is there any significant changes you see coming in the next kind of 2-3 years that that may impact your business, both positive or negative?
I mean, what's extremely difficult about this industry is it's so competitive with such high capital injection required and such low margins. And even in terms of like, it's just hard work. You usually work the most difficult hours. Even in terms of talent and labor, it's usually considered a very like entry level position. You know, you go and get your feet wet. I think COVID really accelerated the need for like digital marketing, social media, even just like connectivity to the internet, e-commerce, and just thinking more like funnel based. You know, like how can I acquire customers using third party maybe as like a different lead magnet? How can I do collaborations with influencers? Because like, you know, we live in an increasing world where rent and food costs and shipping costs, like all the inputs are increasing, which puts, you know, economic pressure on the business. And, you know, everyone can make great food, right? It's a universal language of love. So because of that, there's always competition and there's always innovation. So, I think I'm painting a really shitty picture of a great industry, but the reality is it's still extremely difficult, like any business.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, though, like any business, if your product or service is top tier, then you know if you're doing everything else right, you should thrive in it.
Yeah, totally agree. And especially in our industry, like it's product and services is just the beginning. It's really about people. It's still about the fundamentals. Like we really grew because of our branding, marketing. We got a lot of press and PR. We've been on the social media bandwagon since 2011, running Facebook ads for over a decade now. And the thing I've learned that no matter how fancy the marketing tricks and everything get, you can't beat location, people, and product, like you said. You can't.
And no, you know, that's been around a long time, that mantra. Yeah. You know, well before our digital world that we're in, for sure. I'm curious, you know, if someone's listening to this podcast who's thinking of starting a business and maybe on the fence about it, what advice would you give them?
Oh man, that's actually a really tough one now, because I feel like every year the advice I would give changes. And I think the biggest advice I'd give is like, figure out why you're doing this first and foremost, because it's always going to be 100 times harder than you think. And I love NVIDIA's CEO. He always talks about how hard and difficult starting NVIDIA was, even though it's like the most lucrative stock right now because of the AI hype train. But like, if you don't know why you're doing something and you're just doing it, chances are you're not going to gut it out and stick it through when adversity comes knocking, because it always does.
Hey, have you read the book The Power of Why?
No, I've been told.
It really does speak to that, and that would be my advice I'd give to anyone, very similar to what you just said. If you're just doing because you think you're gonna make a lot of money, or you're gonna have, you know, freedom from not having a boss, those are probably two reasons not to do it. If that's your only reasons, hopefully that becomes a byproduct of your effort and everything else that you do to, you know, to get you there. But I maintain you have to go into entrepreneurship with really drill down as to why you want to do this.
Yeah, the word you use there, you took the words out of my mouth. Profit, financial freedom, location independence, all those things is a byproduct of success. It shouldn't be the end product. To me, I really believe it's like human connection in a way, and as weird as that sounds, because it's like, I don't know, I've still not been able to distill this like feeling I've had, but it's always like no matter what is out there, whether it's a SaaS product, a marketing agency, whatever, like everything's made by a person, right? Like there's a human touch to everything, whether it's code, machinery. And so like, it's still the universal language, like emotions, right? So it's like, if you can somehow transfer those emotions into your product or service, and you can motivate your people, you know, to kind of understand why they're doing what they're doing, I think that's what makes anything successful.
Did you, two more questions for you. Did you have any business mentors when you started out? It doesn't have to be a mentor, as in someone you physically spoke to. Is anyone maybe you followed, or an influencer, or a book or podcast or a video that you watched, or something that kind of guided you a little bit in the early days?
Yeah, no, so my first investor in BFF, he was a business magnate out of Montreal. His name was Henry Weitzman. He passed away actually a few years ago, but he was my mentor. He was old school. He was like a construction kind of, he basically single-handedly was like a huge force in the construction industry in Montreal. Had a massive exit in the 70s for like 30 or 40 million, and just had his hands in everything. It was just like wheeling and dealing, even in old age. And he was my mentor, and he was always really tough on me, but then extremely gentle anytime I was vulnerable or in need. And he kind of just always like could tell my moods, and based off of it, it was just like, Henry's either here to put a boot, steel toe boot in my ass, as he'd always say, or, you know, he was there to kind of, I'd call him Zeta near the end. So it's a Yiddish word for grandfather. And even though we weren't related at all, so it's like either Zeta would show up or Henry with the steel toe boots would show up. And he knew exactly when to show up in whatever version that I needed, even though I didn't realize I needed it.
Wow, so it sounds like a really good mentor, you know, that can give you love and be tough on you at the same time.
Yeah, and it was always like, it was never specific advice. It was just always like, Jamil, like, you know, if someone's trying to corner you, fight back. You know, he never got overly involved, but he was always just there to motivate and remind me, like, you know, why I'm doing this and why he invested, what he saw in me.
That's great. Before we went on air here, you and I were talking about, you know, the work that you do in the community. Can you share with our listeners some of the good things that you're doing for our community?
Yeah. So, you know, in the past, we've done a lot of community initiatives where we've worked with various organizations to raise funds for whether it's for refugees or for other kind of philanthropic causes. Lately, I've been more involved in like the startup community. So I've been kind of sponsoring more startup events, you know, doing free catering for more founder-based events, those in the business and entrepreneurial community, and a bit of a departure, obviously, from some of the other philanthropic work we've done in the past. But it's just kind of my way of, I guess, ever since my mentor passed, it's like, I felt a little bit of a need to mentor, and just, you know, 11 years in the restaurant industry has definitely taken a toll on me. And, but some of the toughest people I know come from this industry, just because of such a high failure rate and such long hours. So kind of my way to give back is, like I said, I'm more advising and mentoring more startups in various spaces, CPG, tech, even some in the SaaS space. So it's been, yeah, it's been very rewarding, because it also is like a mirror and a reflection of like how much I've learned over the years. And it's kind of, it's galvanizing me and giving me more energy, more than I ever imagined.
Oh, that's a great way to end it. Thank you. Where can our listeners find out more about your business?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram, Burgers and Fries Forever. So not and, and you can DM us. I'm there managing the DMs. We're on TikTok as well. Or you could just come to one of our locations. Would, you know, be happy to serve you guys and get your feedback.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.